And we return to Thursday's press conference at Russia's Foreign Ministry with spokesperson Maria Zakharova.
Well, this repressive policy by Lithuania probably is just generally charged, goes in line with the current situation in the European Union when it comes to Russian media. We believe that this decision is another hostile act against Russian media, and well, it is an act of open discrimination. Well, by the way, this violates the international law and are unacceptable in the modern democratic society. So we call upon the international community to take notice of this fact and to state clearly what they think about it. We believe that we would like to hear the official position of the European Union, of the OSCE, and the corresponding European bodies, because Lithuania is trying to use the names of some European bodies. Another similar situation took place in Moldova. Well, we have already commented upon the code on radio and television that de facto prohibits broadcasting Russian news channels. On the 24th of January, the Russian State Duma issued a special statement saying that it is inadmissible to discriminate Russian media. Meanwhile, the international community is very slow to react. We are witnessing repressions against the media in that country. The first victim is TV Gagauzi, that was fined for not complying with some requirements. And we believe that this law is an act of violation of international law, and it is aimed to move away the unfavorable sources, which is unacceptable in the modern democratic society. Here is another thing that I would like to mention. We have received a lot of questions, and we are happy that you are interested in this topic. Well, about the elections, how election process organizing abroad, and we would like to just say a couple of words about it. I will give you a question and I will give you an answer. So could you please give us the figures on different countries where the number of voters is the highest? Well, of course, in the context of Russian presidential elections. Well, according to the information of one of the first January, in Germany, we're talking about almost 500,000 and more than hundreds of people in Abkhazia, Estonia, Lithuania, Ukraine, in Kazakhstan, it's 73,000, Belarusia, 67, Latvia, 63,000 voters, so that is the top 10. We are planning to send some officials to other countries in order to help in organizing the electoral process. Yes, we are planning to do that. We are sending the officials from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and so we're going to organize the elections in those countries where the 18th of March is a holiday. Well, yes, in many Islamic countries, The 18th of March is actually a business day, and so the voters can go and vote. They can do that to the closest holiday, and it's the Friday, the 16th of March. So are you planning to organize this away voting for those citizens that cannot attend to there on the 18th of March? A lot of people are living away from the cities where one can vote, and not everyone have an opportunity to go there that day due to the high expenses for traveling or due to some medical conditions. Or, for example, a person cannot just attend elections due to work, well, etc. Well, due to some timetable peculiarities, etc. Well, of course, well, you can say that about people who work at the customs, about, aviators, and the United Nations officers, and there will be preliminary voting organized for such voters. So, how are you going to organize electoral process in Latvia and Estonia? This year, Latvia and Estonia didn't let us to increase the number of voting sites, and we have already commented on this. So it will make the process more difficult, and many people will not be able to attend the voting. So we will carry out the voting over 2 days, so on the 17th and 18th of March. People living in San Francisco, where the consulate has been closed, will also be able to do that. Well, of course, the fact that the consulate in San Francisco has been closed has complicated our work, but we have worked in order to organize the proper voting process. Well, this time, as of 14th of February, the Minister of Foreign Affairs has created 378 voting sites more than 150 countries all over the world. Well, all information about candidates can be found on the corresponding websites, and you can find the information on corresponding sites. What can you say about electoral activity of people living abroad, of Russian citizens living abroad? So that's not a question for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, but rather to some experts in this area. We will do all we can in order to inform all Russian citizens living abroad, so in order that they will be able to vote them. And we will try to make sure that the elections are organized efficiently in each particular country, taking into account its special and specific characteristics. We will try to find and fix the right dates and place, etc. So, what documents do people traveling abroad, being abroad during the elections, they need to have? All the information is published at the website of the Central Electoral Commission, and we would also recommend Russian citizens to visit our embassy websites, as well as the websites of the consulates of the country where they will be at that day. Well, it's actually very useful because you can find the numbers of hotlines that you can use in emergencies, and you can find all the information on how you can contact Russian diplomats. So, well, first of all, you need to go to the website of the our representation offices, our missions abroad, and you will find there all the necessary telephones, their timetable, and other important and useful information. Russian citizens, in order to vote, will have to present their travel passport. That can be a diplomatic passport or just an ordinary travel passport. And for the countries where that you can enter using your ordinary national passport, the Russian national passport will be enough. So, how will you organize elections in Ukraine? Well, it is quite difficult given all the circumstances, well, especially due to this hate atmosphere that has been nurtured by aggressive nationalist groups. And this aggression against Russian citizens coming to the voting sites in Kyiv, Kharkov, Lvov, and Odessa. Well, despite our messages to the Ukrainian authorities, those authorities are very slow to react. And, well, in order to maintain this order, the Russian Federation was obliged to make a request to the OSCE and its special mission in Ukraine in order to make ensure the security and protection. Another question, there have been some information in the media that you have some information on other countries trying to meddle into the elections. Well, it's a very popular question, and I would like to say that, unlike some unfounded accusation saying that there are some omnipotent Russian hackers and, Russian influence on the electoral processes in other countries. We actually have some concrete facts of destructive interference from other countries. Okay, during the briefing for OSCE ambassadors, as well as the partners of this organization on the 19th of February. Well, I'm sorry, I just didn't say the wrong date. I need to double check it. Well, on those channels and will be distributed the information on that this kind of activity, this kind of work should be stopped. Otherwise, we will have to act against it, and including in the public space. So all the materials that we will gather will be published, or we will inform our partners and the colleagues that it is inadmissible to act in that manner. Another. So I just noticed that we presented all of the comments on the topic available. Now we receive a lot of questions. So why do we have to go to the voting, and why it is so important? I think this question is clear, that you need to go to the voting sites for nobody to be able to blame you for and blame us for falsifying the elections. All you need to do is to come and to vote. So with every of your votes, you can oppose these widespread accusations of the falsifications taking place in Russia. Nothing has happened, but there are still publications on that topic. And I urge all of those citizens abroad and in any other place in our country that they come and express their will. This is only part of the questions, and we will provide answers later on. And don't hesitate to ask other questions. And the more questions that we get, the more we can answer before the elections. And we will try to do this, answer your questions very promptly. As for Ukraine, San Francisco, the Baltic states, we received the questions about a month, starting from a month ago, and now when we have available information, it is easier to answer such questions. So you just need to direct a question to us. I'd like to say that on the 10th of February, there was the 101st anniversary of the Soviet intelligence officer. The veteran of the Great Patriotic War, Batan. In January 1945, Mr. Batan was commanding the reconnaissance team, which destroyed the deposit with the explosives meant for the Nazis to mine the facilities in the city. And we would like to express these congratulations to him and wish him health and high spirits. And we thank him for this heroic deed. We see that this policy of Poland now looks very cynical and sacrilegious against this backdrop. And we hope that Warsaw will comply strictly with the agreements in the military and memorial sphere, and stop removing those monuments dedicated to Russian soldiers fallen for the life and freedom of the Polish people. On the 1st of March, 10 a.m., the atrium building, first of the ministry, will host a ceremony dedicated to the liberation, the 140th anniversary of the liberation of Bulgaria from the Ottoman yoke. During in the course of the Russian-Turkish war, which this anniversary will be marked on the 3rd of March, and we will show you famous documents like the manifesto of Emperor Alexander II of 12 April 1877, which stated the willingness of Russian people to sacrifice to better the life of the Christians of the Balkan Peninsula, and it was meant to commemorate the entry of the Russian forces into Turkey. The preliminary treaty on peace signed in San Stefano, and other documents. We will also present this diplomatic correspondence and these also be different display items. And on the 3rd of March, 2 p.m., there will be a wreath-laying ceremony organized in the public Ilinsky Public Garden near the chapel to the Grenadiers. And this event will be attended by the representatives of the Russian Foreign Ministry of the Federal Assembly and Bulgarian and Russian diplomats, etc. As for the event devoted to this ceremony in the devoted coincided with the Remembrance Day of Russians performing their duties outside our territory. It was organized at the initiative of the Russian embassy in China, and it was attended by the embassy extraordinary plenipotentiary Denisov, military attachés and employees of the embassy. And Denisov, in his statement, noted that during those years, about 3,000 Soviet military experts died, and a lot of people didn't come back from those events. And we would like also now to speak about the meeting of this event of the Russian patriarch of the Moscow and all Russia, and with his colleague in Havana, and the 12th of February, this Vienna hosted the meeting attended by this clergy from the Middle East and other regions. We will publish more detailed information on our website, and would like to answer your question now. Anna Osanova, Moscow, Baku News Agency, and we speak about the elections, presidential election as Azerbaijan and Armenia. After the elections, we still have great hopes. Do you have hopes that after the elections, the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict will be settled, or there will be any advances, any substantial advances? We hope that this conflict will be resolved, and we closely monitoring this aspect and everything that is happening between the sides. Yes, please, please speak to the mic. The public television of Armenia, Russia is the co-chair of the Minsk group in this context. How does the foreign ministry assess the statement of Mr. Aliyev that Yerevan is the territory, regional territory of Azerbaijan, and the recovery of this territory is the strategic goal of Azerbaijan? So this statement announced by this leader, we think that in this regard this doesn't contribute to eliciting the tensions between those countries. We have two questions. Excuse me. Who I represented? Sputnik Belarus. Thank you. First of all, you mentioned Minsk agreements, and for 3 years of the existence, there have been proposals to remove these forum from Minsk. Do you think that Belarus ensures all the necessary conditions for this contact group? And this week we had this statement of Dan, report of Dan conflict, and Russia views Belarus that as a buffer zone in this Western relationship. This statement was about this. Actually, many of these representatives of the American establishment make such statement, and I can say only in general that that You should not be facing the choice if you are with us or against us. We do not draw any such lines, especially when speaking about our neighboring country, our friendly country of Belarus. Belarus is our strategic partner, and this high level of relations cannot be constructed without the respect for the right to conduct sovereign policy, and we have always pursued this multifaceted cooperation with this country. As for the platform for the forum, what were you speaking about? You were speaking about Minsk. Yes, there were great deal of proposals to remove this forum from Minsk. Do you think that Belarus is a suitable venue for these talks? A lot of members of Russian leadership have mentioned that the most important thing is that this process should bear the result, bear its fruit, and we actually give all the necessary support when it is required. So the most important thing for this process to be effective. Because there are some cases when they speak about something that obstructs the process and find a lot of pretext. But in this case, everyone should concentrate on implementing the Minsk agreements, and reiterate that the events held in Belarus were organized on a very high level, and the hospitality and the high level was always have been always noticed, and there were always thanks about these events. Maria Vladimirovna, as for the zones of de-escalation, how do you engage in expanding the term, and on the situation in Afrin, who's hindering the process, and about the organization committee, how do you assess its work? On the first question, Mr. Lavrov commented this question in detail, and based on the data of the Ministry of Defense. As for Mr. Mistura, we firmly support his activities, and we wanted to give an impetus to the activities in the Geneva platform, and we wish every success to him in this very important and difficult mandate. We think that it's essential to give an impetus, and we speak about that directly. We tell this to our Western colleagues, and Mr. Mistura enjoys full support of Russia in this context, and also the support of the whole Geneva process, which was spoken about by Russian representatives. Tamaran Gasanov, Tsargrad TV channel. Foreign Minister of Germany has recently spoke about the need for Serbia to recognize Kosovo if it wants to enter the European Union. Why do you think that, why Brussels and Berlin place such a criteria for the candidates when Cyprus, Spain and others, they have not yet recognized Kosovo? I think this question should be asked to the relevant European structures, to Brussels, because they should comment on what is the basis of their position. We have never pursued such a policy in, regarding this region or any other region of the world, and we have always stated the necessity of developing friendly relations and cooperation in Europe, and we have always contributed to developing the bilateral relations between this region, our country, and this region of the world, which is very interesting for us from economic point of view. Why these conditions, such preconditions, are being announced? We actually have no idea. Maybe this is a reflection of anti-Russian spirits. It is no secret that the European bodies contain some forces that do not want to build the friendly relations with Russia. But at the same time, there are other political forces and other part of the political establishment which advocates the integration of processes like in the EU space and also in the post-Soviet space. They do not see anything about anything, they do not oppose recovering the relations with Russia. So maybe here we can see the willingness of some bureaucrats, some politicians who do not feel close to Russia, or maybe they are not from close to Russia from a pragmatic state of view. Мария Владимировна, we have read in the Italian media the publication and Espresso writes that Putin and Russia influence the elections in this country, in Italy, and support the party Lega Nord. Thank you for making me remember this, because in the evening, tomorrow, an interview given by Foreign Minister Lavrov will be released. It concerns many issues of Russian-European relations. It was given to Euronews, but it's all started with the discussion of the Russian-US relations. And in this interview, Lavrov discusses in great detail the topic of blaming us for an interference in European affairs. And I highly recommend you to watch this interview tomorrow. We are open to discussing the questions, the problems posed by our partners. If they have any data regarding the interference, Russian interference into Italian elections, we are open for discussing.
Because we can address some concrete situations, some actions taken by the Russian Federation, and that are, well, allegedly are not right. So Are there any such cases or not? Nobody, not in the context of Italian elections or referendum in Spain or referendum in the United Kingdom, nobody has not given us any concrete information. Meanwhile, we're hearing from all over the world that Russia is meddling into the internal affairs of those countries. And these statements are made publicly by politicians. However, they avoid consultations through diplomacy channels. Well, I remember statements by Spanish politicians when talking about their internal affairs, and that, well, despite our continuing statements that we respect and support territorial integrity of Spain. Later, the same politicians started telling that they were not using the correct words, they were not meaning that thing. Well, probably at the time when they made those statements, they needed that for their internal political reasons. And the same goes to Italy. Well, give us some names, figures, well, anything, a voice, any concrete accusations that you have. But there is nothing of that you can find. There is nothing like that. Well, as for your question, I recommend you to watch an interview by Sergei Lavrov for Euronews. It will be broadcasted partly, but the whole version will be published on the Ministry of Foreign Affairs website. Okay, thank you. Well, I hope that your news will show that part that I have mentioned. Reykjavik is Lanty, so please tell us, are there any information from the Ministry or for Ministry of Defense regarding to the aviator Filipov? I think that Colonel Konashenkov said that, well, probably those strike was made by Americans. Are there any data regarding this investigation? So, or can we expect any diplomatic, political, military results? And the second question is not so sad. 75 years ago, the were established diplomatic relations between Russia and Iceland. Are you going to celebrate it? Yes. As for your first question, we have confirmed it through Ministry of Defense and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. The investigation is underway, and when we get some concrete data that can be confirmed, we will make a public statement, because we are just in the middle of the process. Well, as for your second question, I will check which events are planned to celebrate this event, and I will address this question in more detail, and we will send you this information. Yes, please. Noes, the Netherlands. Hello. Well, I think that your news has caused a stir in the diplomatic world, because there wasn't something very surprising. Well, we actually, it caused no stir, well, in our circles, because we had to answer every 10 minutes. If we were actually expanding the head of the Dutch diplomacy in Moscow, and just 15 minutes prior to his resignation, we said that we were expecting him. Well, of course, we were expecting this meeting to happen, but they didn't happen. So the foreign minister resigned due to his previous statements that were unfounded. Well, no, nobody's saying about Putin's dacha, because in the Netherlands they're talking about the Putin's dacha. No, actually, he was saying that, well, allegedly, the president of the Russian Federation during the negotiations said something about a possible expansion by Russia to the neighboring countries. Yes, but as far as I have understood, he was he was at the president's dacha. Yes, but the statements that have been considered truthful for several years was that Russia had some aggressive geopolitical intentions, and people making such statements were referring to the president of Russia, who allegedly said that, and that the Dutch minister allegedly attended that meeting. But you have found out that that was untrue. But we have repeatedly said that. And that is actually the first time when some high-profile politicians made some untruthful statements, and Russian side denounced them. We actually proposed to publish the verbatim reports of those negotiations, and every time after that we have started that doing not from the beginning, but only when the number of those fake statements increased and has been increasing, in order to just lower the grade of the heat, of degree of the heat. So when some countries led themselves to say some untruthful information, so that's why we have repeatedly proposed to publish the written records of those meetings, and after that they just stopped mentioning those statements again. So, well, probably that was something new for the Netherlands, but well, unfortunately for us, it's just routine work. Well, I was obliged to answer about some supposed Russian interference into Italian electoral process, and well, we have our own elections. That's what we'd like to stick to. And as I have said, that is no news for us. So, do you think that that can affect Russian-Dutch relations when it comes to the resolve for drama with the plane? Well, haven't you heard the statements that we made when very often, every other week, that we have some concerns, and there are some questions regarding the investigation in the Netherlands. So probably not even experts in politics have not heard those statements. Because the investigation that is underway is you do not have to cite me, but rather to the situation around the statement of the officials of Netherlands. The Dutch public doesn't hear our statement because they do not get any information. When we have made such statements, we got a comment of our colleagues from Netherlands that we were anxious in vain, and everything was a fair game. We spoke about our anxieties, citing different points in that area, and it's no use speaking about that. It can influence the situation somehow. We've been talking for many years about that, and about the Netherlands, the presidency of Netherlands in the UN Security Council. How do you suppose if Russia can count on the Netherlands as a new president, and we wish every success for Netherlands in this important mandate. The UN Security Council is a very important forum for settling the situations, the problems in the world. Many of these problems date back many years, and the maximum desired task is the prevention of new conflicts. That's why we, together with our UN Security Council colleagues, we are focused on such work, and when we wish success to them, we wish success to ourselves, because this should be our collective success. But from international global point of view, no matter how long you're engaged in these information smear campaigns, the truth anyhow will emerge. We saw Colin Powell with the sample in the UN Security Council. Now we have a very unpleasant example for the foreign regarding the foreign minister of Netherlands, and these cases appear very there are many such cases actually. They appear systematically. We are open to answering the questions on this issue, but we expect these stories to be repeated in the future. People themselves start to understand that when they were engaged in spreading fake news, they understand that they cannot live with it anymore. You should not underestimate this factor. This is not a question of the journalistic investigations of spreading the information. Actually, these people understand that they cannot operate in such a way. And these people understand that they should put an end to such a practice. Now, from briefing to briefing, I cite such similar examples. Thank you. One more thing. Very important point. From one point of view, of course, when a person confesses that he told a lie, this is a really real deed, real action. But do not forget that this man, this person has insisted for many years on the truth of his statements. And we should not forget that the decisions were made on that basis. And the votings were motivated by his statement. And this is the destiny of our people, of Dutch citizens. This really affected our life, and we should not forget about that. Good afternoon. As for Afrin, we have two questions. And there is a Turkish operation in Afrin, and 157 citizens were killed in the course of the operation. Turkey and a part of the Syrian opposition are supported by Turkey. Seized some villages near Afrin, and they seized and stole many things from the houses. Who says that?
They actually filmed that themselves and were publishing that, saying that they have stolen all the Turkish and hence, because Kurds are not Muslims. Well, it is known that in Afrin, women are fighting for their land and for their country, and well, against the Turkish country. One of those women was seized by forces supported by Turkey, and she was killed, and later she was, her clothes was taken off, her breasts were cut off, and they wrote on her stomach, Syrian opposition. So here's my question. So what's the Russian stance on this situation about those crimes against humanity? Well, can I ask you a question? So, well, have you heard for the first time about the atrocities that are taking place in Syria? Well, you knew that, over several years. Well, the atrocities have been outrageous, unseen by the world over the last dozens of years. So haven't we talked about that? Haven't we showed the footages of people and children, women being killed? Haven't we called upon the international community to stop this violence, to make sure that the peace process is in place? So wasn't that what we're doing? That was our aim. So wasn't that that the Russian military contingent and Russian aviators are risking their lives. So, and now you're telling me that a woman was killed there. So, good morning to you. Thousands of women, children, and innocent civilians were killed there, and people are mutilated not only physically but also mentally. It is a psychologically mutilated nation, and no one knows how much time it will take to bring this country back to life in order to revive the people, because it's very diverse. We're talking about Syrians and Kurds and other ethnic and national groups. So you cannot just cover yourself with some slogans. You cannot just call upon the international community only when your house becomes a target. And certainly that it's not something that Russia should be blamed for, because we didn't give stretch out the hand of help, not when we were targeted, but when they were in trouble and we were faced with so much aggression and direct threats, and we saw this disapproval from other countries, and we actually stood through it, because we understand that one has to address a problem not when it's entering your house, but when you can prevent further damages. Haven't I talked about the situation in Afrin? Didn't I speak on the causes of this situation a week ago, and have I reiterated it today? You know, there is a difference. I guess Ms. Amanpour maybe will start her program not without with the photograph of the Kurdish boy, or with that the photo of this woman, and she will ask why are there armed these people in the region. You said that it was done by the terrorist groups, but actually it was backed by Turkey, and Turkey is a partner of Russia and Syria. But let's talk about another issue. The proposal to give Afrin a state of de-escalation zone, this was a proposal of Russia. So this proposal, Is it still valid?
I have spoken on the situation in great detail today, and I do not have anything to add to this. The question on the elections, the Prime Minister of Bulgaria said that one thing that you cannot choose your parents and cannot choose the president of the Russian Federation. It was a joke. How you could you comment on this statement? Recently, the Prime Minister Boyko Borisov said that there are two things that you cannot choose, parents, your parents, and the President of the Russian Federation. How could you comment on that? I think he has a chance and he can get the become Russian citizens and go to vote. Yes, please. I'd like to speak and ask a question about the incident near Deir Azor that happened in February. Could you clarify, please, how many Russians were there apart from the five citizens that you spoke about? No, I have announced all the information available to me. I understand that there are many additional questions, but I have spoken of the situation as for today. And even when we have any additional information, we will share it with you, and that's what we do each and every time. So, if there are no questions, I would like to say one more thing, that we have a surprise for you, because this week we are celebrating a very ancient tradition that is called Maslinsa. It goes back to the remote past. Maslinsa, but a week is not Maslinsa if there are no pancakes, no blinis. So we'd like to invite all of you to a small degustation, and our press center has organized it. So this briefing has been a long one, and I can see that you are hungry. Thank you.